The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said it to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. And when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Lord, what we have not, give us. Lord, what we know not, teach us. And, dear Lord, what we are not, make us. For your mercy and your love's sake. Amen.
Amen.
There's something strange about the ending of the Gospels. The New Testament doesn't give us the usual kind of story with a beginning, a middle, and an end. The kind of story where all the loose ends are tied up neatly, you know, all the problems sorted, the wanderers returned, everyone living happily ever after. That typical sense of an ending, a completion. In the Gospels of Jesus, something very different is going on. And it's strange. It's strange. And in these weeks of Easter, our lectionary gives us one after another of these strange episodic accounts, appearances, senses of Jesus' presence, the risen Jesus, meeting with people, coming to console his friends. And we heard one of these accounts this morning in the section from the fourth gospel, John's gospel, that strange lakeside appearance. And these encounters with the risen Lord are very earthly, and yet not quite earthly. They're very bodily, and yet somehow they're not normally bodily. And Jesus appears in time, and somehow he is out of time, beyond time. So John very movingly portrays Jesus on the shoreline, standing on that boundary, that liminal space, where the first light of dawn is breaking. Isn't that beautiful? And we're in this strange place of encounter between one world and another, on the threshold of a whole new day. Well, what sort of ending is this for a story? Read John's Gospel right through as a piece of narrative literature, and it is beautifully crafted. From start to finish, you have this great sweep of ideas, huge cosmic prologue, right through to the most intimate of dialogue between individuals. And big, big themes that John builds page after page, as we see Jesus, the man, fleshing out the meaning of I am, the presence, the living presence of God. I am the eternal word in human form, that word become flesh and dwelling among us. Life in all its fullness is what Jesus comes to bring. I am the bread of life. I come to feed you. I am the light of the world. I come to show you the way. I am the gate. I come so that you can find your way home. I am the good shepherd who will guide you and protect you even to the laying down of my life. I am the resurrection and the life. Trust in me and you will never die. I am the way, the truth, the life. Follow me, know me, live in union with me. I am the vine. All that I am is poured out for the life of the world, and now it is accomplished. It is a monumental story of good news in the presence of God. And yet, at the heart of this gospel comes what John calls the hour of darkness. I am goes steadfastly into betrayal and suffering and death itself. And this, in John's gospel, this is his glory. With John and the disciples, we overhear the very intimate and awesome priestly prayer where Jesus prays to his Father for us, to see his glory, for us to share his holiness, for us to be part of his loving union with the Father. I in them and you in me, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I am love made perfect. And so now the page is turning on this new day where Jesus' prayer is finding fulfillment. A new world is coming to birth. A new humanity is breathed into existence as Christ breathes into them his own spirit of peace. A new presence is at work in the world. John is an astonishingly poetic writer. If you have time later, just sit down and read through those last couple of chapters of John's Gospel. Read them through. He begins early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. Spine's tingling already. The language is shimmering on the page as we glimpse with John that there is just this first unfolding of something completely new. An utterly new presence that is somehow deeply, yet unimaginably real. Beyond death, beyond destruction, Jesus comes. In different ways, to different people, in different places. This recognizable but somehow transfigured Jesus comes to those he loves, and he comes close. He comes to console them. He comes to feed them. He comes to strengthen them. And he comes to commission them. He comes to lead them onward in their faith. As C.S. Lewis beautifully says, farther up and farther in, Jesus leads us onward to the heavenly kingdom of his Father. So, three scenes as a taster from this morning's reading. Scene one, we're at that lakeside. And this is the familiar ground of meeting where Jesus first called his fishermen followers. But now they're on their own again. And Simon Peter is struggling to find his way. Always the leader, let's go fishing, takes the others off. What else can they do? And then Jesus comes. Jesus comes. In the midst of their daily work, in the midst of their fretfulness and their failure at being up half the night and getting nowhere, in the midst of all their dislocation and grief, Jesus calls out to them. And he calls them children. Did you notice that? It's as if they've gone right back to the beginning. They're his little ones again. But Jesus is there for them. As the world turns from darkness into a new morning, Jesus stands on the beach and teaches his children how to fish. Can you hear all the echo upon echo of earlier stories? How Jesus first reached out to the hearts and minds of these young lads in their fishing boats, calling them out to something greater for their lives. And here he is again, calling them, cheering them on, not with any blame, no finger wagging, just deep, loving human solidarity in all their grief and confusion, and faith that calls them on to a new day. Scene two, we now have a barbecue. And the details now are so sort of sensory, you can almost smell the fish sizzling on the hot coals and feel the heat of the brazier. There's another echo. The last episode, when someone was warming themselves around a charcoal fire, was in the courtyard of the high priest, where Peter denied that he even knew Jesus. But this is a new day, and Jesus comes to feed his people, to spread a banquet, to break the fast with loaves and fishes. And there again, more echoes of the teacher who served thousands out on the hillsides of Galilee. And the memory of that little boy, do you remember, with his sandwich lunch of bread and fishes that fed a multitude. And that so poignant memory of the hands that broke the bread and blessed and gave to his loved ones to eat. Do this in remembrance of me. And now he spreads breakfast because a new day has dawned. Scene three. The details passing away now as we focus in. You can almost imagine this in a filmic way, face to face now with Simon Peter. And Jesus comes very close, with pity, not with blame, to call home this one lost sheep, to bind up what is bruised and battered from his denial and his fear and his letting himself and his Lord down. Three times the question is repeated, do you love me? And three times Peter's broken heart is healed. Three times Jesus trusts him to care for the others. And this is how: you feed my lambs, you tend my sheep, you feed my sheep. What a strange ending for Peter, back where it all seemed to begin, back where he first heard the voice of that calling. No easy reassurances, no painless resolution. Quite the opposite, Jesus hints now that Peter too will walk the way that leads to suffering and death. But this is glory, and this is union with Christ in life and in death, and the heavenly love that beckons to all who follow him. It's a wonderful gospel with this strange and mystical ending. It's a story of love, of good news, of eternal glory, a gospel where I am present and alive on every page, a gospel of Jesus who calls to his children and his disciples now and in every age, follow me.